Hey everyone, it's Caddy. It is the last day of January, so thank goodness we are getting in our January cafe with John right now. Woo! Welcome to the cafe, JT.
Hi, Caddy.
Hi, Jay.
You're
always January, which I love. I really look forward to starting my year off.
That's why they call me Mr. January.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow,
well,
you have a...
It's news to me, actually. I just made it up.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we could get a candy bar named after you. That would be fun. Candy bar, you know, like Reggie Bar when he became Mr. October. That's American baseball trivia, though, so forget it. So, in December, after the year-end cafe, we typically don't have loads to talk about. So what John and I like to do is get questions from people off of social media. You're very popular, John, with questions. And I culled the most frequently asked, because there were several repeat questions. And I have them for you here. So if you're ready, we'll start with Adri. I think that's Adri's name. Adri wanted to know, after the year-end, have you picked up any new series to watch on Netflix? They were so impressed by your recommendation.
I started Schitt's Creek.
Oh, me too.
which I'm kind of enjoying. You know, it's a very quick, easy slice of pie. You can watch 3-4 episodes in a, you know, single sitting. I've been enjoying that. And I felt like I needed a comedy. I've been watching a lot of dramas.
Love her.
You know,
she's Maureen at the mom.
She's great.
Anyway, I love that too. Music lover 01 wants to know if there are some Duran Duran songs that you don't love, but you always have to play live. I kind of like that question.
No, I don't think so. You know, at this point, they're like, Simon has been known to call them children. But, you know, we've obviously, we have very, you know, close relationships with our songs. And I think the songs that have been successful for us, you know, you can't help but love them. I think the songs that we have to play, I love all of those songs.
Yeah. Okay. I was not sure how you'd go on that one.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be listening to any of this afternoon. You know,
right.
But when it comes to actually playing them, I really enjoy playing them.
Mm. Is part of that enjoyment from seeing how much the audience is enjoying it?
Possibly. I think it's just like the way that they're constructed. I mean, each song has become a particularly the popular songs that have been played many, many times. They're short little performance pieces, you know, for
mm-hmm.
all of us. You know, we all go through, you know, we have certain moves, you know, that have been developed over time, and they're kind of like, it's like this sort of choreography that is built into the actual playing of the song, and you sort of find places, you know, throughout the song where you can do certain things physically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always trying to play, at least I am, always trying to play, pull off my best ever performance, you know. You know, like every time a song like Ordinary World or White Lines or Planet Earth gets kicked off, I'm like, okay, let's make this the best one ever. You know?
Right.
And you know, sometimes I can make it to like the breakdown, you know, and I'm like, yeah, this is great, this is a perfect 10, and then I go and muff something, you know, and then I go muff it, you know. So I'm kind of monitoring myself, you know, as I'm doing it. But, you know, it's just because, you know, I enjoy playing them. And what other kind of yardsticks do you have as to your sort of, you know, your level of competence, shall we say?
Mm. That's funny that you compete against yourself. I like that. Who knew? That's kind of great. Now I'm going to keep an eye on you. After all of these years, Strapto wants to know, what inspires you to keep writing music? I think you've answered before, but now that you're in the thick of a new album, it's good to ask that again.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to keep, there's a lot of fires that I have to keep lit. Last night I had the evening to myself, and I just bought Wire's new album. Wire have a new album called Mind Hive. I don't think I've bought a Wire album in 20 years, but I loved the first three albums that Wire made at the end of the 70s, and I really enjoyed this new album. It's great. And it sort of started me off on this path where I was listening to a lot of music from that period, Susie and the Banshees, Public Image. I've been listening to Clash a lot lately. Kind of reinforcing a lot of the music that got me very excited about, really got me wanting to be in a band when I was sort of 17 years old. I'll spend time with that kind of music, but then I'll be kind of off and onto, Beethoven and whatever. And I think you just have to, I know where to go to keep myself inspired after all these years, I know what turns me on and what, I have to stay very, especially as you say, we're kind of on the last few laps of the album, and a lot of energy is required, just to get over the finish line, and that energy, that for me comes from inspiration, and we look to other artists as well, painters, filmmakers, writers, and anybody that's able to keep that creative fire going.
Let me ask you this. You and I, sort of part of this question, neither you nor I liked The Irishman, if you don't mind me saying that on your behalf, the movie by Martin Scorsese. But as an artist, did you admire that he keeps on going? Like, is that part of your interest in seeing his films, that he has been around for so long and keeps on going?
Yeah, I was very excited to see it, and to be fair, I haven't watched it all. He's made so many great films over the years, and produced a lot of really great documentaries as well. He's given a lot to popular culture. So far be it from me to criticize. It just didn't quite do it for me, but sometimes it's the mood that I'm in when I'm watching something or listening to something, and something can land weirdly, and I just don't get it, and then I go back to it a few years later and really love it. So I'm actually thinking about going back to it and giving it another go.
Okay. So I don't, I didn't want to mean to speak for you, but when there's an artist,
I think the thing is that, essentially what you're thinking is, do you ever get comfortable? Do you ever get too comfortable? And if you've made a lot of money and you've kind of gotten you've achieved a lot, and everywhere you go, people, have a lot of love for you and appreciate, what you've done, what keeps you going? And I guess it's just greed, at the end of the day, Yes, I think that it's something very satisfying. We really, it's always a struggle pulling off a new album, but it's also very satisfying. It's a very satisfying piece of work to have produced. And I think we all feel that. We're sort of tearing each other's, we're practically at each other's throats at the moment, because because we're at a difficult time in the album, and we're just having to really push to get songs finished. But there will come a time, not too distant future, when we're really, when there's a lot of backslapping going on, and we, great feeling of achievement. You know, I think we all know that it's not easy, you know, and I think when you're in your early 20s and you get to just like, you know, get a record deal and do like album after album after album in your early 20s, you know, with seemingly very little effort. I mean, that's not true, actually. There was a lot of effort required. I think as you get older, you know, you realize that, you know, it's not just something that is, you know, easy. I mean, if there's one thing I hate, it's when somebody says to me, just have fun. As long as you're having a good time. I'm like, are you kidding? You know, what are you, stupid? You know, I mean, if we were all like idiots, then maybe it would be all about just having a good time, but it's not. And I think, you know, when you're trying to do something that, I mean, like, we've got a reputation, you know, you don't want to put out crap. If anything, you want to put out something that the fans will be proud of. I think it's always a thing with Duran, you know, we always want to make our fans proud. You know, we always want to surprise our fans. We always want to take our fans, you know, past the point of what they expect from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we're at a time where, I mean, nobody's happy, it seems, with the culture, you know, with the world. And so, you know, I'm hoping our new record will be just like, you know, we'll sort of drop into the universe and just sort of, you know, spread, massage a few, some good vibes into the spirit of the times, you know, and that's what I'm hoping.
I love that. That's a perfect goal. Someone named Lara Santos asked what we can expect from the next album, which you mostly just answered, but to add to her or his question, is it much different than Paper Gods in your estimation?
Yes, I think it is quite different from Paper Gods. I mean, you know, at least, you know, if you were directly comparing it, you know, you'd probably find it quite different. I think that if you were look back on it, you know, if somebody looks back on it in 1,000 years' time, you know, they'll probably be indistinguishable from each other. You know, the formula behind each song will appear to be almost identical. You know, we are who we are. You know, we're not about to just go off and do, you know, folk music in fake time, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, we our template for making music has not really changed since we started. You know, we're not there yet, and I can't really talk about music because it's at a very sensitive, you know, we don't quite know what sex it is, but it seems to be healthy.
Good answer. But I get this question a lot. Someone named Beto BT, wants to know if you would ever consider doing a master class on playing bass and talk about your creative and collaborative processes. It's like a big thing.
I don't think I have that kind of relationship with music. I think I would have to, if there's anything I could do a masterclass on, it would be a broader sense of, you know, of creativity, you know, within music.
Like that
funny,
talk
you
gave. Remember?
I've been working with Simon this week, and we've had some singers coming in and singing some, you know, girl vocalist come in and do some. And he is an amazing teacher. To watch him sort of guiding this other singer through the parts and through the harmonies, and, you know, he is a really, really extraordinary. And I was thinking, wow, he'd be an amazing teacher, you know, and I'm assuming that when he was young, he probably had a pretty amazing music teacher. But he definitely, you know, I don't think I've ever known him have a better sort of control of his equipment, as he calls it, his voice voice and lungs and whatever. You know, I'm a bit more hard scrabble. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm still just away with, I'm just getting away with so much. You know, I'm just, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing, you know. and I think there's so many kids, you know, I think the kind of kids that would turn up to a masterclass would probably already be able to outplay me, most of them. They would certainly know more about, probably about the technical side of music than I do. I've never really, I've never had to, you know, coming up when I did, I never had to have a very technical sense of music. You know, we were in 76, 77, you know, you just figured it out, you know, and everybody I know was self-taught. And fortunately, you know, and all the bands were all self-taught. So that's why we get along quite well. So yeah, I wouldn't know where to begin. I mean, I could get a bunch of kids together and show them how to be a band.
Mm.
You know, I could do that. I could do that. But, you know, I don't see doing a bass masterclass.
I think that Simon is so such a good teacher because he's very patient. That I think has a lot to do. And I think you're passionate. So I think that passion would translate into you being good at exposing people to something that you are passionate about. Doesn't have to be music. But anyway, got two cents. Big Wild on, what is this name? Big Wild Onion. Oh, Big Wild Onion. Do current events influence the band's artistic work? I like that.
To an extent. I think that you know, when you have an ongoing partnership with three others, and you have this primary purpose, which is to produce music and to perform music, you have to pick. It's like I'm sure anybody listening to this that spends time in a workplace, you know, or even within a family unit, will know that there are a lot of hot topics out there at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very easy, you know, to sort of mention something, and before you know it, you're almost having a fight. I mean, I was at a very small dinner party over the weekend, and I almost got into a fight over Harry and Meghan. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, you know, I mean, I almost wanted to gangle this guy that I just met. it got very hot. So, you know, I find that, you know, in the band, we have to be, I mean, you know, there are obvious things, you know, I mean, when tragedies happen, I mean, obviously, you know, we all equally feel the sadness of loss. Particularly, you know, when we lose somebody that we care about, or when there's a, you know, there's a tragedy that takes place somewhere, you know, we all feel that, and we all try to reflect that in our work, whether on tour or in the studio. Politics is sensitive, you know. I think that, you know, politics has got us all a little bit too polarized right now, and you know, I for one, I'm not for polarization. You know, I'm really not. I'm for rising above that. Which is perhaps why I'm in music. So we tend to, you know, we're just, it's hard enough, the topic of how are we going to get this song finished, you know, without the topic of, so we're leaving Europe today. You know, what do you think about that? you know, it's just nothing
right.
Worse than somebody who you considered to be a very, 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 very good friend and brother who turns out to have voted differently to you in the last sort of, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I don't want to feel less of, you know, people that I love and respect just because they voted Trump. Trump or voted Conservative or whatever. You know, I don't want to think less. I mean, everybody has their own reasons for doing, you know, doing what they do, you know, and... you know, if I sort of said I'm only going to work with people who share the same beliefs as me, or I'm only going to be friends with people who share the same beliefs as me, I that doesn't appeal to me. I'd rather have a broader range of ideas in my, you know,
yeah,
in my friendship pool.
I think that comes with maturity, though. I mean, I think that's sometimes a hard place to reach. I don't know. I mean, I am pretty vocal about my feelings for our current president. But there's a kid that Tanner's gone to school with since kindergarten, and I love the kid, and I love the mom, and I know they're Trump supporters, and we just don't talk about it. You know, just wouldn't talk about it. But you're very mature, JT. How do you feel about Harry and Meghan? Or should we just skip that entirely?
I love Harry and Meghan.
No.
I love Harry and Meghan. Yeah, I really love. I think I like the best thing that happened to the British royal family in a long time. And, you know, I just wish them the best. I think they're great.
You're very sweet. You're very cute. Krista, I can't say last name, Krista Loganane, says, I'm sure being on road can be very grueling. What do you do to maintain some sense of normalcy when you are touring?
Well, I think it's gotten a lot normal since we all have the internet now. You know, I think that's something that's really kind of useful, you know. And, you know, wherever you are, you can kind of log on and stay in touch, you know, with whomever you want to stay in touch with. And, you know, and I think the access to, you know, you mentioned Netflix earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kinds of places that go to, you know, everybody's speaking kind of the same language, really. We all, you know, take our health quite seriously. I think staying healthy and getting enough rest, you know, is crucial. I mean, we're lucky because we travel in a party and we've got, you know, I think credit to our credit, we draw quite lovely people around us. So, you know, we don't do assholes or dickheads.
Right.
We like having really nice people around us, easygoing people. They have to be quite tolerant with poor little bunnies. But but no, I mean, you know, it's like a school trip, you know. it's like a school outing. It just never ends.
I love that.
I mean, also hotels are quite generic, actually, you know. They're, you know, you can be in, you know, Istanbul or Sydney or Tokyo or Chicago and you're in a Ritz-Carlton or a hotel of that nature, and they're pretty standard, you know. I think, you know, I mean, we're and you get out to the degree and experience the sort of idiosyncrasy of each place according to your own wishes, you know. I mean, Nick's usually he throws it down, you know. When we get to a new city, Nick's like, Johnny, you know, it's very interesting, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking of seeing it. Have you got any? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, Nick. You know, I thought, I'm not quite sure. And I turned to Roger, you know, are you interested? And Roger's like, oh, no, I'm going to have a spa day. You should love a spa day. Because, you know, his gig's very physical. And I think he's got a young child. So he actually loves, like, for him, he gets more sleep when he's on tour than when he's at home. It's good fun, you know. It's good fun. I mean, sometimes, and everything is geared to the performance. So it's very self, you get to be very selfish, really. You know, how you pace your day.
You just did the greatest imitation of Nick I've ever heard. I mean, that really just sounded, your whole intonation and how he gets excited about certain things. That was just made me smile very broadly. No cinnamon for cinnamon. That's a funny name. No cinnamon for cinnamon. Says, do you have a favorite unrepresented Duran Duran song that you wish people embraced more? A good one, cinnamon.
Well, oh, God. you know, I quite like that song, Finest Hour. You know, thinking of things. Thinking of things that everybody, or each of us sort of brings a song to the table for the next tour rehearsals, like an previously unperformed song. Oh, I think we did perform that somewhere. I never felt that, but the, you know, yeah, that's one of the songs that I kind of think it could have been so good, but we didn't quite get it right. You know.
Okay. Now we're going to do, you've been so generous with your time, let's do a speed round. So those were all our Duran Duran questions that had specifically to do with Duran Duran. Now I'm just going to knock out a couple speed round questions. Be Fit with Fiona wants to know what your favorite album artwork is from another artist.
Currently, London Calling by The Posh.
Oh, very good. Sandalit from Canada wants to know what would be a good theme song for your life.
Seven, of course, the James Bond thing.
These are so hard to read, these names. Blue R. Kardashian would like to know something, anything about Studio 54. What was it like?
Loud.
Vicky Vale says, at what point during the 1984 tour, so that is a DD question, sorry, did you say, I am burnt to a crisp?
Oh, gosh. It was one of those basketball stadiums. We really got to know like basketball dressing rooms on that tour. I don't remember exactly where we were, but whatever. It's my own fault. I may have been burnt to a crisp, but I'd lit the touch paper myself.
There you go. LeCherry Bond says, if you could listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Four Last Songs by Richard Strauss, sung by Jesse Norman.
Good Lord, I wouldn't have thought you'd choose that. How wonderful. I'm going to go listen to that when we hang up. Natalie Hilditch says, if someone calls you Nigel, do you respond?
No.
You know, if people call me Catherine, I think they're not talking to me. I never turn around.
Well, you know, we just lost Terry Jones, you know, the great Monty Python member of Monty Python. And Terry Jones was probably responsible for me changing my name more than anybody else, because he was the writer of the sketch, which was the great Twits of history. And, you know, Twit, for anybody that's, like, less than 50 years old, is like a nerd, right? So it's a sketch about the great skit, as you Americans say, about the great nerds of history. And every one of them's name was Nigel. That was a really fun day at school the next day.
Oh, poor dude. Okay, so... It didn't take you long to acclimate to your name, right? I mean,
Johnny.
Yeah.
Nah.
Right?
That was a period of transformation. A lot was changing at that time.
Did your parents call you John or Nigel?
It took them a little while. It took them a little while. But they got it in the end.
I think my parents.
Yeah. I threatened to cut off their allowance.
Trying to think, I think sometimes my mom still calls me Kathy. What do you think of those cute Funko Pop dolls? Roger's girl wants to know, and I actually want to know too.
Well, I'm not particularly a fan, but then when I saw one, I think it was Patty Palazzo emailed me, said, your wife needs one of these on desk. And I was like, Yeah, she does, doesn't she? Yeah, and that was about the extent of it.
Oh, they're so cute! I love them, and I have them all, of course. But I have just the sweetest picture of Hayden making eyes at your doll.
And do they, is it true that they double as sex toys?
Well, I don't know.
Somebody said something. Somebody said some things about that. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, somebody just said that they could make
sex
toys. I don't know. I don't know.
The
something
heads
about
are really
the
big,
fabric.
Though. The heads are really big.
Maybe not.
You don't have one?
No.
I know what I'm getting you for Valentine's Day.
No, you're not.
JT, I'm going to end with you on the sex toy note because that's a good one. That's we probably never ever gone there.
No, that's usually Warren's territory.
Yes. Oh my goodness me. Let me say this. What do you think? This is a catty question. What do you think is going to win Best Picture at the Oscars?
Well, I mean, out of what I've seen, I hope 1917 does. But I, you know, I think that's got the broadest, most, I think it's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not my thing. I love Once Upon a Time in America, too, but I know a lot of people that it didn't speak to. I mean, they're all so different, aren't they? I don't really care, actually.
Oh. Do you watch the Oscars or no?
No, because I'm in the UK.
Actually, oh, right.
I won't have to care. I won't have to care. I'll be able to care about them less than I normally have to care about them. You know, when you're in Los Angeles, you have to care about all these effing award shows that are just designed to make most of us feel insignificant. You know.
You're so funny.
No, I'm not. I can barely make it through. I enjoyed the Golden Globes. I have to say, I thought that was great this year.
I leave the
award shows at that.
I love Ricky, so yes, it was. I thought he was hilariously funny.
Yeah, he was great.
I make a big deal about the Oscars. I sort of really like it. I think
I won't hold that against you.
Okay. Did you see Parasite yet?
Yep.
Did you love it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I hope that one. That's my pick. That's my hope for.
All right.
Yeah. John,
It'll win foreign language. It'll win foreign language.
Possibly. Or maybe Pain and Glory will win and then it will win the Oscar. Who knows? Who knows how these people vote? What I do know is you're adorable. You are so much fun to talk to. I'm not going to get you back until May or June. And by that time, I know from emails and such that I think a lot, we'll have a lot to discuss when you're back in the cafe.
Yes.
All right. Well, my friend, a major pleasure, Trej. And let me know how you like your movie tonight.
I will.
All right,
my darling. Thanks everybody for listening. See ya.